Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Trey Kelly leads us in the series, God on Tap.
All right, wrapping up God on Tap today. It has been a very fun series. I've enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed it. And even more than enjoying it, I hope that it's changed the way you view God. I really do. I hope that this series has opened your eyes to who God is and to how much He actually offers you. I mean, if you remember, we began the series basically with a simple idea that God was the answer to every question and every problem you have. And if you're new today, you're a guest, you're like, well, that sounds silly. Well, not when you actually looked at it the way we looked at it. That really, everything our soul longs for, everything our soul thirsts for, we can find in God. Not only can we find it in God, we find it freely available in unlimited supply. We genuinely have God on tap. He is available whenever we need it. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fact that God provides us peace whenever we need it. We have peace on tap. When we have anxiety, when we have worry, when we have issues, we can go to God and He can actually give us genuine and real peace for our lives, despite our circumstances. Last week, we talked about how we have forgiveness on tap. We do not have to go through life dealing with shame and pain and guilt and regret over decisions we've made in our life and over mistakes. We don't have to deal with that. God has made Himself freely available to us, and we can actually live guilt-free. We can live forgiven if we just tap into what He offers. And today, as kind of wrapping up the series, I kind of want to end it with kind of an all-encompassing, all-covering, like how do we access this God on tap? And what I'm really going to do is tell you a pretty personal story today, because today's message, it's really something that I, myself, have been dealing with for ever. And it's over the last couple of months, God's kind of begun to teach me that I was wrong. And the way I kind of viewed Him and the way I felt about some things. And I want to share it with you today in the hopes that what God is teaching me would also set many of you free with the preconception, you know, I certainly had about God, and you may have about God as well. And to kind of help you understand the preconception, I'm going to paint a picture, kind of tell you a story. And it's not a real story. I'm not talking about anybody in my life. Now, you're going to think about people in your life that actually exist, but I'm not talking about anybody in my life. Let me say it one more time. I'm not talking about anybody in my life. How many of you have people in your life that constantly have problems with money? And the biggest problem is that they need it from you. Do not raise your hand. Don't poke. Don't elbow. Eyes forward. But how many of you have ever had this problem? You have people in your life who consistently have problems with money, right? Maybe it is a sibling, right? And the sibling, they come to you, and man, they always have like the best sob story, and it makes so much sense, but at the end of the day, what they need is money, and what they need it is from, they need it from you, and you need to give them the money. Or maybe it's a parent who comes to you and asks for money, and because the parents can lay that guilt card down, it's just like, I need some money. I did raise you, but, you know, weren't for me, you wouldn't be born, but don't worry, I'll just starve. You're like, thanks. Mom and Dad, that's perfect. But they come to you and they ask for money. Or maybe you have a friend who, you know, you love them so much, but man, they just can't get their act together and they're always asking for money. Or maybe word's gotten out around town that you're super generous and just everybody asks you for money. It's like somebody put it on Facebook one day. Come ask this guy for money because he will give it to you. Right? And here's what happens, right? These people, they come to your life and they come to you and they have this great sob story, right? And it makes so much sense. They explain the situation. They explain why they don't have the money. They explain what they need the money for. They explain what they're going to do with the money. And you, your heart is pierced and you're like, yes, okay, I understand this. I see what's wrong with you. Oh, okay, yes, I can help you. Not what's wrong with you. I see the struggles you're having. Yes, if I have the resources, I can help you. I can bless you. I can make this better for you. Absolutely, I want to do it. Here you go. I'm going to loan you this money. And any of you have ever done this laugh because you ain't loaning that money. You ain't never seen that money again. It's a gift. And here's what happens. You give it, and they take it, and they say, oh, thank you so much. We're so excited. We're going to use this, and it's going to be better. And it is for a week, maybe a month. And then what happens? They come back again and need more money. And you try to be calm. You say, okay, well, you know, okay, I understand again. Think things are wrong. I get it. You know, they're really struggling. They need some more money. Okay, I'll give them some more money. And then they come back again, and they need more money. And then they come back again, and they need more money. And again, and again, and again. Until it gets to the point where as much as you love them and as much as you want to be around them, you start to feel dread every time the text message pops up, or you see their voice, I mean, you see their name pop up because they're calling you, or you get the email or something, because you know this is going to end with the same thing, right? This is going to end with, can I have some more money? And as much as you love them, and as much as you try to care about them, and as much as you tell yourself over and over and over, I want to do this, I'm just being generous, it's so fun, it's so good, they can't help it, I'm trying to take care of them, I love them, I love them, I love them. As hard as you try, eventually, in your mind, when they pop up, there's a word that pops up as well. And it's a word you can say in church. So it's not the words you were thinking. It's this word. Deadbeat. It happens. And you don't mean it to be. You don't mean to be ugly. You don't mean to be rude. You're probably not even still bothered by the doing it. You're not still struggling. You're still doing it. But you know that they are a deadbeat. I just can't get it together. And you wonder, like, why don't they ask somebody else? Am I the only, like, was there an email that went around that I missed? Should I not have taken that phone call? And you feel like they're a deadbeat. And it's really hard to spend time with somebody that you think is a deadbeat. It's really hard to genuinely love somebody and care for somebody when you feel like they are using you. Because that's what really happens, right? You begin to think they're simply using you for what they need, and they don't really have any value for you. It's just about what you could give them, right? Now, the reason I tell you this story has nothing to do with the deadbeats in your life, right? Because if we're honest, in many situations, we probably have deadbeats in our life. We've probably been the deadbeat. You know, so it's not about that. The reason I wanted to paint you that picture is that you know what that feels like, right? You know what it feels like. There's somebody in your life that you feel like is a deadbeat. And you know what it feels like when they come around and it kind of fills you with dread, right? You know how that feels. Now, the reason I tell you that story is because many times in my relationship with God, I feel like the deadbeat. Here's what I mean. I understand this idea of God. And I understand that I'm supposed to go to Him with my struggles. And I'm supposed to go to Him with my pain. And I'm supposed to go to Him with my hurt. And I do. And I go to Him, and God is good. And He speaks to my soul. And if I go to Him with anger or with anxiety, I could go to Him and I can pray. And He will heal me. And I won't feel any anxiety for about 15 minutes. And then the anxiety will begin to come back. Or the anger will begin to come back. And so maybe I'll pray again. And I'll think, okay, I just didn't pray right the last time. I didn't do it right. I didn't pray hard enough. Maybe I need to get on my knees. I don't know what it is. But obviously something didn't work because this came back. And so I'll pray again, and maybe it'll go away again. But what happens is the struggles don't go away. And I begin to feel like a deadbeat before God. Because I keep having to go back to Him again and again and again with the same struggles. For example, the last 12 to 18 months in my house, we've had a couple of projects that we've had to manage both at church and at home. And I'm kind of the project manager in our house, and so I've had to manage some projects. And when you manage projects, that involves managing other people in the project, and other people don't always do what you want them to do in the project. And sometimes that leads to worry and anxiety about the other people being morons in the project. And I would, guys, I would pray, and I would say, God, I know I got to work, don't worry, because worry don't work. I got to look at the birds, but I've been looking at birds for 18 months. And I still have worry and anxiety about certain issues. And I feel so defeated when they come up again. Because I'm like, I can't go back to God again. Because I feel like if I'm going to go back to God again, you know, the first time's okay, the fifth time's okay, but the 20th time, the 50th time, what's wrong with me? And maybe if you've ever had these issues, you start to think, what is wrong? Why can't I get this? Why can't I fix this? Why can't I wrap my brain around this? And we begin to be afraid to talk to God about our struggles because we think he's going to look at us and say, seriously? Again? How many times do we have to talk about this? Now, as I said at the top, this is a very personal message. And I'm sharing it because this is something God's been teaching me. And I'm sharing it because I believe many of you in this room, probably either now or at some point, have had similar struggles. You have not been comfortable returning to God because you feel like you've already laid out all your cash on the table. And you can't go back again. And I just want you to hear me today if you don't hear anything else. That's not true. And it's taken, I'm 34 years old. I've been following God pretty much for 20, 25 years of my life. And it's really only been in the last 4 months that God's really began to teach me how untrue that is. That he's begun to show me he doesn't think I'm a deadbeat. And if you're here today and you're relating to anything I say, please hear me when God is trying to tell you he doesn't think you're a deadbeat. If anything, the reason he offers us God on tap, the reason he offers it freely available in a limited supply is because he knows we have unlimited need. See, we think God is like the all-you-can-eat buffet place that ain't really all you can eat. You know, after a few plates, they're going to tap you and say, sir, you've been here for 4 hours. You got to go. You're like, you said all I could eat. You didn't say there was a limit to how long I could be here. I was going to set up a tent and spend the night. No. See, but God's not that way. God really is freely available in an unlimited supply. And the way I know this is true is because he makes it clear through his son Jesus, specifically through one of his teachings in the book of Luke, which is the third biography we have of Jesus' life. Luke was a historian, and he wrote this biography of Jesus' life, and he records many of Jesus' teachings. And Jesus gives us this teaching that on the face of it, you're going to say, I don't know how this really applies to what we're talking about. But when we go through it and then I show you how it works, you're going to be astounded. Because what Jesus basically says is, look, when you have a problem, I'm the solution. You know I'm the solution. So if you have the problem for the 20th time, why would the solution change? If it's the same problem, then I'm still the solution. And we don't think that way because we feel like a deadbeat, but Jesus says you don't have to. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 11. And if not, the words are going to be up on the screen just like always. And what we find here in Luke chapter 11, Jesus has been teaching. In fact, if you were here last week, we looked at the beginning of Luke chapter 11 where Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And we saw how prayer was connected to forgiveness because confession opens the conversation with God. Because when we confess our sins to God, it's not so that God can condemn us, it's so that he can remind us that we're forgiven. Which is pretty amazing. And in that same passage, a little further down, Jesus begins to talk about this issue. Again, basically continuing this theme of why would you possibly ever consider seeking anything else than me? And here's how he says it. He starts out this way. In Luke chapter 11, verse 33, he says, no one lights a lamp and then hides it or puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. And you read that and say, that's deep, Jesus. That's deep, man. No one lights a lamp and hides it under a basket because it would set the basket on fire and you'd burn your house down. But think about it. It makes comment. I mean, seriously, it's almost silly to explain it. But you would not light a lamp, a candle, anything. If you needed a light, you wouldn't light it and then hide it. That wouldn't make any sense. It's just like you wouldn't take your dirty clothes and put them in the trunk of your car, right? Because that wouldn't work. Jesus is saying the same thing. No one lights a lamp and it hides it or puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. In other words, if you need light, there's one solution. A lamp. If you are in the dark, the answer is to turn on the light. Nothing else is going to solve your darkness problem except light. Now, if you've been around church a while, especially if you've read any of the New Testament, you may know that one of the kind of phrases that the early writers took to talk about Jesus, and Jesus actually talked about himself, is that he was the light of the world. And so what Jesus is doing here is he is talking about himself. And he's saying, just like you would never turn a light on and then hide it if you needed light, you turn the light on and use it because you have a darkness problem. He's saying, if you have issues and struggles and pain in your life that require light, that require Jesus, why on earth would you ever seek anything else except him? That would be like needing light and turning the light on and then covering it up. It doesn't make any sense at all. And here's why it's not good. Here's why it doesn't make any sense. He keeps going. He says, see, your eye is a lamp that provides light for your whole body. What they mean by that is your eye, and more than that, what you look to, what you seek, what you believe is going to be the answer, is what is going to provide light for your body. So if you're looking to Jesus, you're going to have some light. If you're looking to other things, if you're looking to other people, if you're looking to money, if you're looking to sex, if you're looking to drugs and alcohol, if you're looking to any of these things, then that's what's going to provide the light for your body. That's what's going to guide your body. We're all looking for something. When we're high, when we're low, when things are good, when things are bad, when we're struggling, when we're not, we're all looking. We're all seeking. And Jesus is only saying, hey, look, you know what the light is. Why would you know about the light and not use it? And he says this. He says, when your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. Now, the word good there doesn't just mean like, hey, okay. No, when your eye is good, the actual word there is like when your eye is steady. When your eye is singularly focused. And since Jesus is telling the story and Jesus is the light, we can assume that he means when your eye is singularly focused, it means on him. So he's saying, I'm the light, and when you are focused on the light, your body is filled with light. Conversely, when it is bad, your body is filled with darkness. So let's work our way back. If Jesus is the light, and our eyes are a lamp for our body, when we're focused on Jesus, that means our body is good, and our body is filled with light. When it is bad, that means when it is not focused where it should be, when it is off course, when it is looking for other things, your body is filled with darkness. Now, I say that and you're like, I'm not so sure. But everyone in the room would have to agree it's true. Here's how I know. Because you have struggles in your life. You have regrets. You have pain. You have guilt. You have shame. You have worry. And you have chased thing after thing after thing, hoping it was going to work, never realizing that you were looking at the wrong thing. But you know you were looking at the wrong thing. You know how you know? Because it's never worked. It might work for a day. It might work for a week. But eventually, you look in the mirror and you see the same deadbeat you've always seen. And you don't know why. Because you thought you were looking at the light. You thought you'd found the answer. You read that, you went to that Tony Robbins seminar, man, and you punched through that board, and you were like, I am on fire for a week. And then it didn't work. Nothing wrong with Tony Robbins. Just his name just popped in my head, all right? Tony's fine. Good Tony. But see, here's what we do, right? Especially if you're like me and you know God and you've had a relationship with God and you feel like you can't go back to God again and again and again, you start to try to give to other things. You think, oh, well, maybe, okay, well, God, man, I prayed a lot. And maybe you didn't work out, so maybe I got to try something else. See, some of you, you don't feel like the deadbeat. You feel like God is the deadbeat. You feel like you have gone to him over and over and over again, and all he's done is let you down. And so you said, fine, dude. I'll try something else. What Jesus is trying to say is like, okay, you can try other stuff, but I'm the light of the world. I'm the light. So why would you have access to the light and not use it? When you look at the light, things are better. And when you chase other things, they're worse. And you say, I'm not so sure about that. Well, listen to what Jesus says next, because he kind of brings it all together. He says, make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. See, that's what happens. We feel upset. We feel like a deadbeat. Like God's not going to work, so we chase other things. And come on, nobody's looking. It's just me and you talking. How's that working for you? Are you content? I'm not even going to use the word happy, because happy is such a silly word. Are you content with your life? Are you satisfied with where you are? Do you wake up every morning with peace and assurance that your life has meaning and purpose? Do you wake up every day knowing that the mistakes of your past can be used for good in your future? That you do not have to spend every day dreading the mistakes you had and replaying them in your mind and wishing that Back to the Future was real and you could get in a time machine and go back and change things? Because if you do, you need to make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. Because if you have light, if you are seeking Jesus, if you are accessing God on tap, those things should be getting better. Those things should be healing. Those things should be having less control over you. Unless, of course, you're like me. Because I think I'm a deadbeat. Because I pray about something one time and I want it to be gone. And so when I get mad about something that happened 5 years ago and I've begged God to help me forgive that, and the anger comes up again, well, I feel like a deadbeat, and I surely can't pray about that again. I sure can't go back to God again about that. And so even I seek other things. And maybe you have too. I bet anything you have. And what Jesus is trying to say is he's saying, yeah, I'm the answer. I'm what's going to work, and I'm what's always going to work, right? How many of you would need something in your closet, right? Way in the back of the closet, right? In the dark. How many of you would take a hammer with you to find what you needed in the closet? Thank God, none of you. Okay, what would you take? You take a flashlight, right? Because you have a darkness problem. You don't need a hammer. You need a flashlight. And what Jesus is trying as hard as he can to show us, really through logic, is, look, I'm what works. I'm what worked the first time. I'm what's going to work the 10th time. I'm what's going to work the 50th time. I'm what's going to work the 100th time. Nothing else is going to work. And you really don't want to come talk to me because you think I might be disappointed? Because you think I might get frustrated with you? Because you think I'm going to look at you and say, really? Again? See, Jesus says, do you realize what I did for you? You understand, right, that I let myself be arrested and spit upon and then beaten. And then I let myself be nailed to a tree where I literally breathed my last breath. And do you know why I did all that? I did it for you. I did it because you were worth it to me. I did it because I wanted to have a relationship with you. I wanted you to spend eternity with me. I wanted to pay the price for every mistake you'll ever make or ever will make. And I wanted to have the privilege of guiding you in your life. I did all that for you. You think I'm mad. You think I'm angry. You think I think you're a deadbeat because you just haven't licked your anger problem yet. Because you just can't get under control those dirty words you say when nobody's looking, or some people are looking. He's like, man, no. That's what he's saying to me. He says, you're not a deadbeat. You're just human. And you're never going to be perfect. You are never going to overcome every struggle. You are never going to have perfect peace. You are never going to perfectly forgive. You are never going to have perfect satisfaction in this body. But when you spend eternity with me, you will. And our goal between now and then is to get you as ready as we can for that life. And the only way we can do that is if you seek me with your struggles every single time. If you come to me with the problems every single time. If you bring it to me and you allow me to heal it. How do we do that? Jesus says it. He tells us this. He says, if you are filled with light, in other words, if you look straight to Jesus and then with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light. If you are filled with light with no dark corners, here's what that means. You have to seek Jesus and then you have to turn his spotlight on every dark corner of your life. Everything you've tried to hide away, every struggle you're afraid to show him, everything that you think he's going to get mad at you about and he's uncomfortable with, and I can't believe you're struggling again, he's saying, no. Don't hide from me. Run to me. Because you have a darkness problem. And the only thing that can solve a darkness problem is light. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So why on earth would you seek a hammer when all you need is a flashlight? Because you think I'm going to get mad? I died for you. Trey Kelly, I died for you. I'm not mad that you're anxious again. I knew you were going to get anxious again the last time that I healed your anxiety. And guess what? You're going to get anxious again. You're getting a little anxious right now talking about it. What God's been teaching me is that when I feel like a deadbeat, when I feel like I am struggling with the same things over and over and over again, I have to trust him. And I have to seek him. And I have to reveal the dark corners. Because, here's what he's showing me. He's showing me that the light reveals what the darkness conceals. How many of you when you were kids, or maybe even now, would get scared of the dark? You'd see something over in the corner of the room, and you were convinced it was Freddy Krueger. You know? And you'd hear, or maybe you'd see like a goalie mask, and you'd hear, you know? And you'd be in your covers, you'd be so scared. You'd see weird shadows, and you wouldn't know what to do, and your mind would just start going crazy over what it could be, and how it was some monster that was going to kill you and destroy you, or it was a burglar, or it was something like that. What solved it 100% of the time? Do you remember? And you turn on the light. Because the light reveals what the darkness conceals. You turn the light on and you realize it was just a chair. Or it was your brother's Freddy Krueger mask. Or it was your brother in a Freddy Krueger mask. And then you told on him and your parents punished him. And then you had to pray about how happy you were he got a spanking. But every time it worked, right? But you turn the light off, what would happen? You knew it was a chair. You knew it was a chair. You turn that light off. And you'd beg your parents, just let me sleep with the light on. And they say no, because they were mean. I'll have my kids sleep with lights here. You give them a little nightlight, though. See, the light reveals what the darkness conceals. And even as a kid, you knew, if I can just see what's actually there, I won't be so scared. That's all Jesus is saying. But he's saying the only way you're going to see that is if you come to me. So you have to seek me. You have to look to me so that I can shine a light on that issue. Because when I shine the light on that issue, it's going to show you that it's not as big a deal as you thought it was. And when I shine the light on that issue, you're going to see it's not as big as it used to be. Yes, it's still there, but it's healing. It's just not healing as fast as you want it to, Trey Kelly. But it's healing. When you shine the light, say, look at that. Well, that's silly. Why would I be scared of that? Well, because it was in the dark. And so you have to seek the light and you have to show the light on it because the light reveals what the darkness conceals. So here's how this would work in my life. When these issues would come up, when pain would come up over issues that I thought were gone, when anxiety would come up, when fear would come up, when doubt would come up, and then I'd prayed about it and God had healed it and I was frustrated that it was back, I was like a three-year-old. I would play peekaboo with my struggles. I would say, la, 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 I don't see you. I don't hear you, so you don't exist. And that is stupid. If my kids were here, they would tell me stupid's not a nice word. I'm not supposed to say stupid. Don't say stupid, teenagers. But see, here's what would happen, right? So the struggles would come up and I get so frustrated with myself that, oh, this is back again. Well, I certainly can't tell God about this. I can't pray about this. So I'm just going to make it go away. And so I would just try to distract myself. I would call somebody. I would pick up a book. I would try to work. I would read. I would turn on a television show. I would do anything I could to distract myself from the issue. And you know what? It would go away. But it didn't heal. It scurried off to a dark corner where it started to grow. And what God has been teaching me is I've got to take this to heart. I've got to take that the light reveals what the darkness conceals to heart. And here's what I've decided. Here's what I do now. And here's what I pray you begin to do, okay? When the issue comes up, when the pain comes up that I've talked through 10, 20, 50, 100 times, this is what I do every single time. I seek His light and I reveal my dark corners. Every single time. If I'm angry again over the issue that happened 10 years ago, I say, hey God, it's me. I'm angry again. I'm coming to you and I'm showing you. There it is. I know. It's back. Can you help me? Hey God, I'm anxious again. I know it was just 10 minutes ago, but something else happened and it's back. Can you help me? God, I feel guilty again. I know you. It's back. The feelings are back. I'm coming to you. Every single time I have decided in my head before the issue comes up, every single time I seek His light and I reveal my dark corners. Every single time. And here's what's happened. The struggles, hear me, have not gone away. Okay? They will never go away this side of heaven. But here's what's happened. They lose a lot more than they win now. It's almost like we shine the light on them and God and I are like, see how stupid that is? Because see, what's actually happening is Satan's lying to me. He's throwing stuff at me. He's saying, you're not forgiven. You're not holy. You're not a real Christian. Because if you were, you wouldn't have these struggles. And so when I go to God and we shine the light on it, and God's like, look at that idiot. He's a liar. Man, I hate his guts. And I'm like, God, he's the worst, really. And God says, well, have you read the end of the book? We win. It's going to be okay. But we got to deal with him right now. But you don't have to deal with him like you are. Let me handle it. Come to me, and I'll shine my light on him. Because he hates the light. Satan lives for the dark corners. Because he doesn't have any real power, any real control. All he can do is pretend and lie. So I'm telling you, if you can get this today, if you can embrace this idea that we really do have God on tap, we have God freely available in unlimited supply for every single struggle we have in our life. And all we have to do when those struggle, when the pain, when the fear, when the doubt, when the questions come up, we don't have to deal with it on our own. We don't have to make a phone call. We literally just have to seek His light and reveal our dark corners and say, God, this is me. This is my struggle. Can you help? And He says, absolutely. It's what I've been waiting for. I died for you 2,000 years ago for this moment. And for every moment since. Because see, here's the greatest thing about what God has been teaching me. My relationship with Him has never been better. Because I truly am learning what God on tap really means. It means I can go to the well over and over and over and over over again. And He will heal me. He is healing me. But healing is a process, and healing takes time. And during that time, your relationship grows. For the next struggle, and for the next setback, and the next bit of pain, and the next time you have to forgive, and the next thing that happens that's going to make the other things you used to be anxious about look trivial. So He's building that relationship. He's preparing you to know that He's never going to leave you. And that all you have to do is seek His light and reveal His dark corners. Because when you do, you'll discover that the light reveals what the darkness conceals. So here's my prayer for you today, and we're done. Here's my challenge. Beginning right now, we're going to close with a song. I dare you. Seek the light. Reveal your dark corners. Pray to God right now, today. Share with Him those struggles and the fears and the doubt and the shame and the guilt and the pain and all the stuff that you wish He would remove. You don't know why He won't, but you've asked so many times you're ashamed of it. Or maybe you've never asked at all because you're horrified of what He's going to say. Try it. And here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that the light reveals what the darkness conceals. See, the darkness makes you think, this is too big. This is too strong. This is too powerful. This is too much. But Jesus is the light of the world. And there's nothing too big. There's nothing too strong. There's nothing too much. He already knows. He's just waiting for you to invite Him in so He can begin to heal you from the inside out. Because you are not a deadbeat. You are priceless. He loved you so much, He paid His life for you. Don't believe the lies of the darkness. Run to the light. Run to God on tap, freely available in unlimited supply. Let me pray for you. God, we love You so much. And God, personally, I just thank You that You've been teaching me this and that You have just confirmed in my heart that You do not think I'm a deadbeat and You're not frustrated that I have the same struggles over and over and over again. All You ask is that I seek You every time. Father, I promise today that I will seek Your light and I will reveal my dark corners. Lord, I pray for all of us in this room today that we will make that same prayer. And that as we sing this song, that each of us in our own hearts will personally cry out to You and confess to You and open ourselves up to You to receive the light of Your Son, Jesus. And may the light reveal what the darkness conceals. It's in Your Son's name we pray.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.